Let us read together in God's Word from Colossians. We've been preaching from that little book called Philemon in the mornings, but as we come to this Communion Lord's Day morning, we go to Colossians chapter 1, and then we'll return to it again in the evening and look at verse 18 this evening, a significant message for us as the knowing the very identity of who we are here at Cornerstone and the headship of Jesus Christ over His church. I believe the message this evening gives us something of that contribution that the Apostle Paul made to understanding who the church is and how Christ is related to that church. As we read from Colossians chapter 1, we read beginning with verse 15, He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. This is the word of Christ through His apostle Paul. Here is the very zenith of this great poem about Jesus Christ. The whole creation groans as a consequence of the fall of man. In fact, the corruption of all creation, both seen and unseen, is all around us. There is a reality to that corruption that we know day in, day out. Things are out of sync. Things are not in harmony with God and among men, but also they're not in harmony in creation itself. Wolves eat sheep. Rattlesnakes are in enmity with all of us. The creation itself groans. There is that out of syncness. But there is one, as verse 19 tells us, one in whom all the fullness of God dwells. The Gnostics were saying, yes, Jesus, but also here is something else. Here is someone else. Here is all these other things in addition to Jesus. But here the word of Christ comes and says, in Him there is the fullness of God. Colossians 2 verse 19 puts it with a boldness. There the apostle writes, Colossians 2:9, I believe it is. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Christ is that one who is the fullness, the totality of the divine power and attributes. He is the one who brings full harmony, full order out of the chaos of this fallen world. There is one who brings full harmony. What is this that is given to us this morning? And I'd ask that you focus with me as we come to the Lord's table on how Christ, the blood of Christ, brings about this harmony, this shalom, this peace. So first, to look at the peace of God, this shalom. I remember well certainly one of those first Hebrew words you learn when you study the Old Testament and you begin to learn something of how to study the Old Testament in the Hebrew language. Of course, one of those words that stays with us is that word shalom. I remember how it was impressed on me as walking the streets in different parts of Israel, whether it was in Jerusalem or Haifa or in the little towns of Galilee there. You would pass someone on the street, and whether it was saying hello to you or saying goodbye to you, it was shalom. And there was this kind of greeting that just kind of echoed inside of me all the time while I was there. It seemed this shalom, and yet we could hear bombs blasting off up to the north of Galilee at the time while we slept that night, and thinking, the peace of God, the shalom of God. How is it to come about in this world? And there is that sense in which we think of the need for reconciliation all over the world that we live in. And it's not just between nations. It comes down to husbands and wives and the need for reconciliation. Shalom in our families and parents and children. The realities of the disorder that we live in. God's Word says that His wrath is revealed against all ungodliness. And it begins there. And it's revealed against all unrighteousness. God's wrath is upon that sin of ungodliness and unrighteousness. And yet here there is that word that is spoken that all things will find their restoration. The created order itself will have that shalom that's spoken of in verse 20. Read with me those words. By making peace through His blood, by making shalom through His blood. This is not just the redemption of a few individuals, but the recreation of the earth and the restoration of panta, all things. There is this peace that is to come. And I must say, as I study the New Testament, there is this shalom that is much greater than I ever imagined, that it is to do with all creation itself. All things will be put back into harmony with Him. This is what the text says. How is it done? By the cross, by the blood of Christ. No part of creation will be left unaffected by what Christ has done. All the broken and dislocated parts of the whole universe, all things, peoples, things, and even animals. There is something that will be brought together and fixed in a vibrant harmony by God's Son, Jesus Christ, and His blood that was shed on the cross. All that remain in ungodliness and unrighteousness will experience God's wrath. There is no peace without the blood of Christ. Some would say, well, this sounds like such a bloody religion. But it's very interesting, historically, wherever this great teaching has gone, blood sacrifices disappear. All the paganism of men, and they're trying to somehow or another placate an angry God, that disappears. They're the ones who have peace with God. They have no need for an altar. We have no altar here this day. It's a table upon which the elements are here present. We don't have this altar that we're presenting something of as a sacrifice. Here we remember what Christ has done. The blood of Christ. God makes peace through His blood. Take that next step with me and see how that peace comes. And certainly we have to understand that it's God's grace. He takes the initiative. It's not that somehow or another we finally got it together and we're going to have harmony. God makes peace through the blood of His own Son. Here is what we're given. God's holiness demands that sin be punished. His wrath is upon ungodliness. His wrath is being revealed from heaven right now against unrighteousness. And yet, in what God has done in Jesus Christ, there is harmony, there is order, there is peace. How can we have peace? We're justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. We have peace through what He has done on our behalf. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. None. How will you stand before God? At peace or in chaos under wrath? It's that great leveling aspect of the gospel that's so interesting. Kings and beggars have only one way to stand before God in righteousness and with peace, and that's in the blood of Christ. Presidents and prostitutes will have the only standing possible before God, the blood of Christ. Old men and young ones, beautiful women and ugly women. There's no other category that's left out. Nationalities, backgrounds, differences. We all stand on one level standing place, condemned. Sinners that we all are. Some big ones, some little ones. But the blood of Jesus Christ is the only standing we can have before God. No matter who we are, His blood and righteousness, that's the only dress, the only righteousness we'll have through all eternity. There is that harmony and peace through Him. Without that shedding of blood, there was no remission. It's not somehow or another my works, or some Christians think it's my faith, my repentance, my good days, my weeping. It's not my place in purgatory or my place in paradise. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that gives me peace with God. It's the only place that you'll find forgiveness and peace. You can ask the ungodly, do they have forgiveness of their sins? You can ask those who are of a popular religion, of self-confidence, those who may be of the Muslim faith, or those who are of the Jewish faith, those who may be infidels. And they all shuffle about whether they have real peace and everlasting forgiveness with God. We alone have that peace in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ from the very beginning identified with us. From His circumcision to His sweating of as great drops of blood, to the flogging, to the being crowned with thorns, to the crucifixion on the cross, those five bleeding wounds are a reality. They plead for us. They make us acceptable before God. They blot out all my sins. They give me peace with God. They speak shalom over the great storm of life. And we're at peace with God. I ask you this morning, what are you to do? If you're here this day and you're without peace, you're here and you realize that God's wrath is upon you. Just to think you have heard of the one standing before God, and yet it's as something not very important to you. Oh, I would ask you to wake up this day, shake yourself, seek God's grace in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Hear this day out of harmony, out of step with God's wondrous Word. Come to Him with real repentance. Come to Him and by the blood of Jesus Christ be back again in harmony with Him. If you're out of order with others, there is a place that you can find forgiveness, harmony, oneness. You may be constantly walking out of step with God and His world. There is not a sinner in this place who knows himself to be out of harmony with God, who knows that he's been ruined by sin, that can't find that harmony through the blood of Jesus Christ. To have peace with God right now. Not tomorrow, not because you've sought it really hard and you've done everything and you've really worked at it for weeks and weeks. but in the wondrous way of faith in Christ, there's peace with God right now. I ask you this morning, are you ready to spend that eternity? Our minds can't even conceive the word eternity. But eternity is a reality that will come upon every one of us. We have all been given that appointment with death. We don't know the when of it. We had a memorial service last week, and this week there'll be another memorial service. Among us, there are those who are going into the very presence of God. How would we stand if every one of us were taken into His presence at this very moment? Is the blood of Jesus Christ your peace with God? Let me tell you a story that I read again just in these days. I had read some 20 years ago of this man by the name of Arthur Stace, an Aussie. The story that I read again about him, written by Ron Bevis, points out some things I'd never heard about this man. I don't know, it would be interesting to me if any of you ever heard of Arthur Stace. Well, then I'm telling you a story that maybe you've never heard, but it's fascinating to me, about this man who was a loser, as he had been called a no-hoper, an alcoholic and completely illiterate. He lived in the streets of Sydney, regarded by many that saw him as a lost cause, out of step with everything. Arthur Stace, one Sunday night in 1932, entered an Anglican church on Broadway Street in Sydney and heard the Reverend T.C. Hammond preach a gospel message. He walked out of that place across to Victoria Park and sat under a tree and wept until he found peace with God. Later that year, he was at Burton Street Baptist Tabernacle on the corner of Palmer Street when he heard the evangelist John G. Ridley preaching. He had this urgent cry. As he ended his message, he said, "Eternity, oh eternity, that this word could be emblazoned across the streets of Sydney." And as I read this, I couldn't help but think how we all need to have that emblazoned across our minds. Life really is short. Whether you're here without peace, you need peace with God today. Or you're here out of step with God as one of His children. You need to be living in the light of eternity. Arthur Stace, the little man who could not read or write, left that church that night, took some yellow chalk, bent down and wrote one word on the footpath. And throughout the night for the next 40 years, while Sydney slept, Arthur would take his chalk and write in immaculate copperplate handwriting. You can look up copperplate, and it has something to do with this beautiful calligraphy. And he had this way of writing and working with just that one word. That's all he had. He wrote it on the footpaths, the entrances to the train station, and anywhere else he thought he would catch people's attention. They would wake up in the morning on their way to the commuter trains, and there they would read that word, eternity. All these years later, in Sydney today, Ron writes, you can still see the word in three places. One, on the gravestone in Waverley Cemetery, commemorating the life of Arthur Stace, who had become known as Mr. Eternity. Secondly, inside the huge bell in the clock tower, which had been dismantled during the Second World War. When the clock tower was rebuilt in the 60s, the bell was brought out of storage, and as the workmen were installing the bell, they noticed inside the word Eternity in Arthur Stace's chalk. No one ever found out how Stace had been able to get to the bell, which had been sealed up to add this mysterious entry into Sydney's folklore. And then, in Town Hall Square, between St. Andrew's Cathedral and Sydney's Town Hall, when the area was redeveloped in the 70s, a solid brass replica of the word in Stace's original copperplate handwriting was embedded in the footpath near a fountain as an eternal memorial to Arthur Stace. Eternity. Then some of you might remember the year 2000 when the second millennium was celebrated. It started in Sydney, and there across their main bridge was, in his own handwriting, in the working of the technology of lighting, was eternity. Of all the words that have been spoken during the first two millennia, That was the one that was chosen by these godless people to represent their city. Those firework displays began that great celebration. But it's a word that comes to us this morning, eternity. Could there be? Probably there are. Those who are here right now who are not ready for eternity. The blood of Jesus Christ has never washed away your sins. You're here. You're lost. You're without peace with God. Some of you may have heard the gospel maybe hundreds of times. But you've never been reconciled with God. You have never had the reality that those five bleeding wounds of Christ are pleading your case. You've never had the blood of Jesus Christ give you peace with God. Children, or those who are in their 80s or 90s, there's only one standing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, gives us peace with God. And that alone. Nothing, nothing, nothing else. We come trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ to give us peace with God. Let us pray. Our Father, our hope forever is only in the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. We come not with our boasting of our faith or our repentance or our weeping, our works of righteousness. Lord, we come whether we're presidents or prostitutes, resting upon the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, I pray that you would cause everyone here present to come to that faith, that trust, that they would have an eternity of peace with you through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And then those who have trusted, O Lord, that we would be as those who are always thankful, grateful. Lord, cause us to be humbled and know that our only hope is in Jesus Christ, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.